Well, this morning, as we turn to the scriptures, the Lord gives us instructions about how we can be stars. Maybe we can't be superstar athletes or movie stars, but the scripture says we all can shine like stars in the dark world we live in. In the dark universe, we all have a chance to shine. And there's two things. First, we obey God's word. We obey the Lord and put him first in our lives. That's the first step. The second, and what we see in our scripture in Philippians chapter 2, is this. We obey with a good attitude. We obey without grumbling or complaining. And Pastor Eric's going to get that into that in his sermon, having a bent toward griping, complaining. Okay, kids, so listen up. When your parents tell you to do something, if you want to be a star, shine like a star and be bright and make this world a better place, we obey with a good attitude. We go about it with joy in our hearts. Well, children, adults, let's all join now in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us the opportunity to shine like stars right where we are. No matter who we are, we can do it by doing what you've asked and doing it with a good attitude. Lord, work in our hearts that we might not be grumblers or complainers, but that we might do what you've called us to with joy, and that we might shine forth in such a way that you get the glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Well, at this time, I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. The passage we're looking at comes right after Paul has addressed the Philippian believers and reminded them of the example of Jesus, who in his great love for others humbled himself, endured great suffering. And can you imagine Jesus ever complaining? He didn't. Well, we're exhorted to have the same attitude of Christ Jesus in this passage. Let's look starting in verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious Lord God, we come before you in this time of teaching. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the gospel, for your word, a word of salvation, a word of instruction that can shape and mold our hearts and our lives to bring you glory and honor. Lord, send your spirit upon us, we pray. Amen. I'm aware that there are many pastors that have changed their sermon title for this Sunday, and they're going to be talking about racism. I've chosen not to go that route for this kind of understanding. If you've been around for a while and have listened to some of my sermons over the years, you know, I really don't say a whole lot about money. I don't really talk about too much about stewardship. My bent is more towards teaching people about faithful living, teaching people about scripture and stewardship. Offering ourselves to the Lord is a natural extension of faithful living. So I focus more on faith. Well, that's kind of how I try to teach about racism too, is that we preach what the scriptures say. Jesus calls us to love one another, and if we're biased or racist, we're not really loving one another. And so we try to teach from scripture and have that pervade every aspect of our lives. So even though I'm not preaching per se about racism this morning, as we think about what the scriptures reveal, it's shaping our entire selves to be more like Christ. It was on April 26th that we began a 7-week sermon series about the topics, the issues, the questions, all the learning stemming from COVID-19 and the global pandemic. In some respects, those 7 weeks have gone by quick because today is the seventh Sunday. This is the final installment of this 7-week sermon series, and as I got ready for it, I think I might have saved the most difficult topic for last. Not necessarily difficult for me to give, but maybe it's going to be difficult for some of you or all of us to hear. For the subject is to do with griping, complaining, being discontent and putting voice to our discontentment. Does anyone know what I mean about how this can be difficult? Certainly there is no one here that is a natural complainer, right? Oh, I love those head shakes. No. So to lighten the load, to kind of sweeten the path for us to be able to listen, I'm going to share some quotes and some illustrations about this subject. First, a witticism from Mark Twain. Don't complain and talk about all of your problems. 80% of the people don't care, and the other 20% are glad that you have them. We're about, well, maybe 3 to 4 weeks away from July 4th. And if you follow society, you probably are aware that each July 4th, Nathan's famous hot dog company sponsors a hot dog eating contest. One person at the 8 o'clock service knew the reigning champion. Anybody know the reigning champion?
Joey.
Joey something. Okay, Joey Chestnut. He continues to reign for 6, 7, 8, 10 years, I don't know, but the most he has eaten, 73 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. Yeah, doesn't that sound great? He consumes over 20,000 calories in 10 minutes. I like that groan. Few of us are in danger of eating 70 hot dogs in a day, let alone 7 hot dogs a minute for 10 minutes. And yet, we each live in a world where enough is never enough. Many people devote their lives to acquiring wealth and possessions, living with a focus only on the temporal aspects of life. And as a result, rather than living in contentment, they live in a perpetual state of dissatisfaction, of discontentment. They struggle to get the latest and the biggest and the newest toys. And thus, they're never really enjoying a full moment of peace. Proverbs 25, 16, and 17 says, "If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, and you will vomit." Yes, this is the verse that went with this illustration about the hot dog eating contest. Verse 17, "Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and he will hate you." Why are you shaking your heads? Yes. 8 o'clock service, Tim Beck, my next door neighbor, was here, and he didn't know I was going to read this. He stepped in my yard twice yesterday, and he was apologetic both times. And I keep telling him, you can come over anytime. When discontent and griping, we can find ourselves talking like Eeyore and saying things like, "Whatever can go wrong, will go wrong." That's my best Eeyore voice, sorry. Then I came across an illustration of a man who was marooned on a desolate island. After he had been there for 5 years, he was discovered and rescued. And as he climbed into the rescue boat, the curious rescuers noticed there were 3 grass huts on the island. "We thought you were alone. Why are there 3 huts?" they asked. And the man replied, "Well, the first one was my home, and the second one was my church." Well, what about the third hut? Oh, that's the church I used to belong to, said the man. We can even be discontent with just ourselves. Just ourselves. Finally, a quote I read that makes the point. Complaining is like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of somebody else's mouth, but not your own. That's from Will Bowen, founder of the Complaint-Free Movement. Well, this morning's scripture reading is from verses 14 through 18 of Philippians chapter 2. I'd like us to first consider verses 12 and 13, which is obviously preceded by verses 1 through 11. Verses 1 through 11 speak of the humble servant attitude of Jesus, the same attitude that Christians are to embody. As we seek and live out the same attitude, the same humble attitude of Christ, Paul therefore writes in verses 12 and 13, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Paul was issuing a very strong exhortation to the Christians in Philippi. It's an emphatic request, forcefully urging the Philippian Christians to continue to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation, a saving relationship with God. Salvation is about regeneration of a person's heart. Knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, acknowledging one's own sinful behavior, repenting from those ways of sin, and coming to full belief in Jesus Christ. Such regeneration initiates the believer into a life of obligation, a life of obligation. When a person acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord, the person is obligated to live and to serve and to obey Jesus Christ. In understanding Paul's phrase, continue to work out your salvation, we're not working for salvation, but we're putting salvation to work in our lives. Paul is expressing his desire for the Philippian Christians to advance in their spirituality, to grow in faithful obedience to the ways of God. And through the use of those descriptive words, fear and trembling, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling recognizes the awesomeness, the reverence, the holiness of God. I had a little God moment this morning as I came in early and got ready for things. I typically come up here and practice to a vacant sanctuary. I kind of got used to that for a couple of weeks. And I was looking at the clock to try and time, okay, am I long or am I short, those kind of things. And up above the speaker that's mounted on this post was a yellow glow. And it was like a halo. And it looked like I'm trying to figure out who would have put a light up there. So then I turned around. And right where King of Kings is in the lower left of that window, there was a light from the sun shining right on there, and it was a little halo. And it just made me think about the holiness of God. Fear and trembling. We recognize the holiness, the awesomeness, the reverence of God. Because it's God who has filled us. It is God who works in us. A Christian is enabled to put their salvation to work through the presence of God. God fills a believer with a desire to worship and a desire to serve God. And as God works within a person, God empowers that person to live in obedience, to live out the obligations of Scripture. Remember the Ten Commandments, those obligations of Scripture? Those really are a summary. They represent so many other obligations that we have that we can't just settle on those 10 directives. This is the depth of faith and belief, as expressed in the words of Jesus himself when he said, "With God, all things are possible." In Matthew 19:26, with God working through us, all things are possible. And also when Jesus said in Matthew 11:30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God enables us to do what he demands. In my humanness, I know that I can complain and I can gripe when the burdens of life and the burdens of ministry seemingly amount so that they're overwhelming. But then time in the scripture and time in prayer remind me that God has called me to a life of faith and belief. And we're all in, quote, that same boat, that same situation together. When life seems overwhelming, we go to the gospel and we bow in prayer. One of the realities of all this suspended activities and not seeing people face to face, I've been flooded with various emails throughout all this time of people talking about with me how they've gone to scripture and how they're praying more. That's a blessing. As Christians, as we continue to work out our salvation with God's guidance and with his sustaining power and his wisdom, the first aspect of our attitudes that we are supposed to work on, Paul writes of in Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining or arguing. Without complaining or arguing. Has anyone heard any complaining the last number of days or weeks? We could all put our hands up, right? Any arguing about things that are going on? I was doing a little bit of work at the Habitat House in Wauseon this week, and as Robert and I were in the backyard, I noticed across the alley the neighbors, and there was a young boy and a young girl, and they had each had a hoe, and they were cutting up the weeds from row to row in their garden. And it was one of those moments where I was transported 45 to 50 years back in time, when my mom demanded that I go out and work in the garden. Do you think I willingly did that, kind of like being a star? I mean, the complaining and the griping. And I have to take a pause right now, because through all of this, now that we are Facebook live streaming, I'm aware that several of my siblings and my mother are now tuning in. I have to be very careful what I say about my family from this point on, but I'm pretty sure I was not the only Christman child that was complaining and griping, and I'm sure I'll hear about that in the days to come. It's a normal reaction, isn't it? Someone demands something of you, and we want to complain, and we want to gripe. Thus, this is the seventh sermon in this whole series from the pandemic. I mean, if someone demands, someone wants us to do something, and we don't want to do it, is our first inclination to complain and to gripe? Or is that just me? Since early March, how many expressions of griping and complaining have you heard from others? Remember, it's that bad breath syndrome. I mean, we're talking about what we've heard from others, because the demands placed on the closing of school and the closing of work and the closing of churches, this whole social distancing and the personal hygiene practices, everybody's been hearing that. As I ask that question, recall the words of Will Bowen. Complaining is like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of somebody else's mouth, but not your own. We'll come back to that in a moment. As a result of our own complaining, and my listening to the complaints of many others about the pandemic and the decision to suspend church ministries, in this seven-part sermon series stemming from the pandemic, in my thinking about preaching on the human bent towards griping, or my own bent towards griping, it was very faithfully natural for me to go to Philippians 2:14 and recall these words of Paul. Do everything without complaining or arguing. I mean, this was going to be easy to put down. But then as I studied this last week, as I studied Philippians chapter 2, I was reminded of the danger of proof texting, of pulling a verse of scripture out so that my decision or my justification was justified. That is called proof texting. And as I was reading and studying on chapter 2, I came across a commentary that included this sentence: compliance with Paul's exhortation should be without complaining or gripe arguing. Compliance with Paul's exhortation. This is not talking about weeding a garden. This is not talking about complaining about a pandemic. This is people griping and complaining and arguing when we're talking about living the Christian faith. Paul is challenging his readers and us today to respond to the demands of Scripture upon our lives, not with complaining and arguing, but with joy, with a joy-filled presence. Arguing, negative, non-helpful reasons and disputes. Complaining, grumbling, discontentment. Instead of going that way, we have to be able to focus in on receiving the joyful Spirit of God in our lives. My reason for teaching on this subject this morning was meant to address the dividing, complaining, and arguing that has resulted from living through this pandemic. I wanted to say enough is enough. But through my study, through looking at the Word of God, I became very aware that Paul's focal point about doing everything without complaining and arguing has nothing to do with complaining about that garden, that weeding that garden, or anything else. What this verse has to do with is how we continue to work out our salvation by being obedient to God's will. Putting the points of this part of Paul's lesson together teaches us that as a humble and servant attitude of Jesus Christ, we are to work at being obedient to salvation in Christ, never taking a break, never taking a vacation or a day off, but humble, continual obedience to salvation in Christ, knowing that it's God that works through us to live according to God's good purpose in everything we do. And just as I began, that I don't really talk much about offerings, I don't talk much about racism, but as we look at Scripture and get more faithful in our relationship to God, natural things in life kind of come out. Well, that's the way it is in this aspect of working towards our salvation. As we focus in on the gospel, as we focus in on growing spiritually, our natural bent to complaining can be set aside as we're filled with a joy-filled Spirit of God. In faithful adherence to the Word of God, our lives need not be defined by complaining or arguing. Verse 15 reminds us of the difficulty that God has placed upon us. For we live in a crooked and depraved generation. Is that true? I mean, Paul was writing how many years ago? But we still live in a crooked and depraved generation. But as we live in full disobedience, did you catch that? How many of you were listening? I just said disobedience, not necessarily on purpose. But fortunately, my brain said, oops, I said that wrong. When living in full obedience to God, in living in full obedience to God, that's when we can shine like the stars in the universe. It's not about us. It's about God working through us. Isn't that a wonderful image? A star shining in the universe. Shining like stars. That's what that halo up there around that speaker meant to me this morning. As people of Christ, knowing Christ as the light of the world, the true light. In John chapter 1, verse 9, Scripture says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And because we are followers, we are believers in Christ, we are beacons ourselves. We are light bearers to the world. We are those stars that are to be shining for the world. how we respond with an obedient attitude and a joyful spirit. It's not out of obligation, but it's in grace and it's in love. We bear witness of Christ's love to the world. Philippians 2:15, you shine like stars in the universe. You shine. It's a present action. It's a present fact. The Philippians were already shining. Now they're shining brighter. You are already shining. We are challenged to shine brighter, to continue to shine without the hindrance of complaining. Christians are called to be luminaries in a world of spiritual darkness. Verse 16, as you hold out the word of life, that's the gospel. It brings eternal life when received by faith. In John 6:68, Simon Peter answered Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life for that day of Christ. When Christ will return for his church, whenever that may be, may we be found with an attitude, a mindset of gracious gladness and rejoicing. As we become aware of our own bad breath. And I find it interesting that the only way I've really become aware of my own bad breath is when my kind, sweet wife says, you need something to suck on. You know, here's this mint that you need, because, and I just always, no, you have bad breath. You need to take care of this. I don't recognize that in myself. So when people point out some of those issues of our bad breath in terms of complaining, don't scoff at them, but know that they love you and they want to have your breath be pleasant. They want your words to be pleasant. Don't scoff, but accept that point of help. Back to gardening. I find it very interesting that now I enjoy gardening. We have a couple little gardens. I got to finally plant my corn this week, you know, and I go out there and I was pulling weeds for like a whole 20 minutes. It seemed like forever, you know, but I enjoyed it. What's the difference between being 12 and how old I am now? Notice how I didn't say 58. What's the difference? It's an attitude. It's an attitude of faith. I hope it's because of an ever-increasing compliance to the ways of Christ. When life isn't proceeding the way that we want it or expect it to, we have to step back from complaining or arguing, from griping. We have to instead have a response of gladness and rejoicing for what God has given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that through your Spirit and through the power of this time, Lord, I pray that through that power, that our hearts can be regenerated, that any complaining or that natural tendency to argue back would be removed and be filled with gladness and with joy in the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, who makes us one. In Christ we pray. Amen.
It's with joy in our faith that we know when we leave this earth, we are going to spend eternity with God in heaven. Let's sing together, I'll Fly Away.
Oh,
May the peace of Christ, that transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Go in his peace. Amen. You have been listening to Pause for Praise, last Sunday's worship service from St. John's Christian Church in Archbold. We welcome you to join us in worship at 8 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. May God's peace be with you.